And out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Now, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build the tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it and will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, I'm really not a great big fan of television. I do like a few things like Criminal Minds. But I like to watch sports on TV, and this is the best time of year. I mean, we had the Summer Olympics, and then we had sports. Don't you love those football games that come down to a coaching call? Do we go for two or do we play it safe and kick and tie the score and go into overtime? I love those games when it comes right down to that. Besides which, besides loving those all or nothing ball games, it feels like fall when football starts. I want to dress like fall when football starts. It was a weekend of football this weekend. Tennessee versus App State. Now, this is a little scary because Tennessee was 20 and App State was 13. Yeah? Overtime. UGA versus University of North Carolina.
Go Dogs.
They also were a little scary. That score was 33-24. Georgia Tech, which was even scarier. Boston College, 17-14. Tech beat them by 3 points. Really? Yeah, Clemson and Auburn. Don texted me this morning. He didn't call me, and he had the picture of a football, and he had a thumbs up, which should have been a thumbs down, and then he had hands praying and said, "Pray for me. I was at the ball game, and now I'm going to preach." So he got home about 3 o'clock this morning, and he's standing in a pulpit right now. I text back, by the way, and said, "You're too old to do that." Alabama versus Southern Cal. Now, there was a ball game that 52-6. And Michigan versus Hawaii. That's when I did most of my work yesterday. Do you remember that score? 63-3. Florida Gators, have got any Gators in the house? Gators. Florida Gators versus University of Massachusetts, 24-7, Florida. Now, I hope Belinda's here today because she's the only LSU fan I know. But Wisconsin beat them out by 2 points, 16-14. Was a good ball game. Now, one of the things that I do not like to watch on TV is church. I flip through channels and look at all of them, and I hadn't found a church yet that I like to watch on TV. Sometimes when I'm eating dinner and there's just nothing else on, and I do not like to eat alone, I'll leave the channel on while I go and make a sandwich or some such thing. Now, if you're a shut-in and you can't get out, I'm glad this church on TV. But I don't understand why people call that going to church unless they are shut in and can't go anyplace, because I want to know, how do you serve when your church is a TV church? And who, I really want to know who you give your money to. To them?
They'll take your money.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to talk about that. I also want to know who they pray with and who prays for them specifically, by name and detail. So I've run into a preacher a couple of times on TV that's not 30 minutes from here. His congregation has 20,000 members. That's more people than go to ball games. And they probably would get more out of ball games if they look hard at the theology, because this is what he said. Now, this is a quote. This is exactly what this preacher said. We settle for being broke, for being poor, for being in debt. I've heard people in the church say, I may not have this and I may not have that, but praise the Lord when I get to heaven on the other side. Well, honeys, God wants you to get it on this side. He is driving a black Rolls Royce and flies to speaking engagements in a $5 million private jet and lives in a $1 million home. Now, that is so different to what Jesus was saying to the crowds that were following him and saying to us in this text. Large crowds, it says, was following Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Very different. So I changed the channel. Another TV preacher was preening and prancing, and the stadium was packed, and he began to preach kind of the same theology. And I reached for my laptop, my tablet, just to see what he looked like on the tax side of things. He owns two houses in West Virginia. Both have indoor swimming pools and bowling alleys. He owns another house in Texas that cost over $1 million. He drives a Mercedes. He just bought a new church, 28 acres, and some sort of cathedral is being built to the tune of $3.2 million. This preacher declared that it was okay for him to have all this luxury. That's where their money's going, just so you know. I don't think Jesus needs a bowling alley. Here's what he teaches. Jesus was a rich man. He bases this entire, what he calls fact, on he had to be to support all those disciples in their travels. He teaches thousands of people that if they become Christian, they will never be sick, they will never be abused, they will never be broken, they will never be in pain. And if any one of those things happens to them, it's because of their sin, because God won't allow it. But Jesus said, it's a quote, Jesus said, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This person began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against king will not sit down first and consider what he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions. Well, we estimated the cost, didn't we, Doc? Doc's got it down to copper pennies. We didn't start until we knew we could finish. Now, we're a little bit short of what's pledged and what we've got on hand to finish, but not much. And we are faithful to the fact that God is going to provide that for us because we were following His directions when we marched into this. And your children will be playing in a youth center. And the ones that are too young to go to the youth center are going to have more room upstairs. And your little girls are going to be able to walk down a center aisle and not get out in the rain to get to the center aisle. And you are going to be able to worship in a sanctuary that's fresh and new and appropriate for God. We'll show off Shamley and we'll make it important for other people to be here. People that we built, everything we built, I want you to know, we built for those that we have not yet met. Because you're here. You helped us build it. And you'll get to enjoy the fruits of it. But it's built for those we have not yet met. You understand? Now, Jesus didn't mean for you to shoot your mom and daddy. Jesus didn't mean for you to give up every single possession you have. Jesus doesn't mean for you to take everything you have, every possession you have, and throw it away. He did not mean that. It's a hyperbole to get you to see that He must come first before any of all that stuff, before any relationship, before any of those things, He must come first. And that's what He's saying here. Now, I watched them come from Alabama and Tennessee and South Carolina and North Carolina and Florida and South Georgia. I watched them come. There I was with a full ride, but they would come, ride together when they could. 6 or 7 of them together would get a tiny little apartment someplace because it's all they could afford and really beyond. They would take Tuesday and Thursday classes always because they had churches to serve in Tennessee and Alabama and South Carolina and North Carolina and Florida and South Georgia. So they would drive in early on a Tuesday morning, very early. And they would go to class on Tuesday and they'd all pile in that little apartment or Pitts Library or someplace that they could find a quiet corner. And they would study all day on Wednesday and write. And then they would go to classes on Thursday. As soon as that class was over, they would get back in cars that were worn out and had worn out tires, and they would go home to preach and to teach and to pastor a church. They took loans to pay for seminary, and they would drive in with a jar of peanut butter and a loaf of bread on the front seat because they couldn't afford anything else. I watched them. They knew what Jesus was talking about. They lived this text. Wives at home, children at home, sometimes 6 parents at home. I watched them. Which one of those do you want to be your preacher? The guy that's got a $3.2 million house with bowling alleys? Or these men and women who drove in with a jar of peanut butter and a loaf of bread in a worn-out car with worn-out tires? Which one do you want your child to grow up to be like? Chandler's having a hard time. She and her new boyfriend came by my house Friday night. I thought they would never go home. Chandler is struggling. She simply can't focus. Right now she's got 3 F's. Actually, it turned into 2 F's on Friday. If you will remember, her best friend since second grade died a few months ago, and she's back in school for the first time without Logan. And she said, "Mimi, I can't get it together. I just can't focus." You know what I told her? Don't worry about it. School will be there next year. If you fail this year, school will be there next year. You had to learn a very hard lesson about loss and grief at too young an age. That's what I told her. Now, that's not what her parents are telling her. This new boyfriend, Noah is his name, has been good for her. He's on a work-study program. He gets out of school every day at noon. Senior year, he's applied to UGA. He wants to study agriculture business agriculture, whatever that degree is that country school has. He goes to his granddaddy's farm where he is gainfully employed to farm the land, to grow the hay, to tend the herd. We try to talk Chandler into getting a goat. He's got a cow that he takes all around the state to show, so we're trying to talk her into getting a goat. I think it'd be great fun. She doesn't think so. He knows about disappointment. He knows what happens to hay if the rain doesn't come or if it comes at the wrong time. He sees the world through very realistic eyes, but with full knowledge of God and God's grace. He's a good boy. Probably never be rich. But he knows that he can plant seed all day long. And when they peep out of the ground, he knows that it was God making that seed grow, not him. He knows you have to work. You have to water, you have to weed, you have to fertilize, you have to tend, you have to be present. He knows the best fertilizer on the farm is the footprints of the farmer. He knows that. He knows that if you're going to farm for a living, you have to be all in. You can't do it halfway. And there's no such thing as a day off. He knows in for a penny, in for a pound. He knows that. And he knows that even after all of that hard work, it all depends on God. I like that boy. I gave Chandler $20 Friday night, and then I gave him $20 Friday night, because you know what they were doing for their date on Saturday morning? They're shooting dove in a dove field. And they needed license. And I said, "My treat. I don't like guns. I don't like killing. Here, go buy the license. Shoot the birds. That's great." Because he is good for her. Because he is a good boy with a good heart, and he's got his stuff all lined up. And I want him to stay that way. Because I wish it were that all of our children were like that. Would tend the earth, would work hard, would have integrity. If you want to be a Christian, you must decide, Jesus says, that you will give up everything, including your life, for me. Now, these two TV preachers don't sound like they've given up much of anything. It really sounds more like they've taken advantage of the situation. But we can't look at those two preachers, and we can't even look at Noah. We need to look at ourselves. So I ask you this morning, what's your prayer life like? When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Are you in a Bible study? Are you consistent in your attendance at church or just kind of stop by every once in a while? Are you working for the church or are you just along for the ride? Do you tithe? Are you living your life in such a way that people don't have to ask if you're a Christian? What have you given up for Christ's sake? Or what is your excuse? Got to go to work. My only day to sleep late. Too much homework. Or 1,000 more. You're invited by Jesus himself in his own words to carry the cross and follow him. Now, these two preachers I'm telling you about today, people are flocking to them by the tens of thousands. And here's why. Because it's easy. They throw some money in and he goes and buys a new airplane. And they don't ask where their money's going. They just throw it in. And they're not asked to do much else. It's easy. It's an easy gospel. It's sugar-coated. And for me, and I believe for you, there's no such thing. There is no sugar-coating. Grace is free, free, free. But it is not cheap. It is very costly. And so your next question is it worth it? Well, I can't answer for you. You have to answer for you. But for me, it's worth it. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and sing together. If you're able, we'll stand and sing together. Hymn number 553, "And Are We Yet Alive?" The altar of the Methodist Church is always open to you. Certainly you're invited to make one of your pew. And if there's any who'd like to officially join with this church, this congregation,